David, when you talk about the tribes in Canada who do not have the best interests of the Canadians, generally speaking, in mind, are there particular tribes that you are referring to? We should know our enemy, should we not?
Well, you can just look what's happening to all the Muslim nations. Is there freedom? There is no freedom. Wherever you look, whatever country you look over there, there is no freedom whatsoever. But there is many native tribes that, and I hear that on the streets, even though I'm from Eastern Europe, they don't care if you're white from here or white from there. They have this bitterness and they want revenge. And even though we feed them and some of them, they just have this unforgiveness. And so it's few places as we know. Islam wants to rule the world. As you read the Quran and the Hadith, we know that their Messiah will only come if there will be a global war. Their Isa, it's a different Jesus,
That's right.
and it says that he's going to be on the right hand of their Messiah, slaughtering the people of the book and Jews. That means Christians and Jews. So all of this, there's going to be few things happening at the same time. Everybody will want to use this situation to their advantage. But what I tell the Muslim people is research Albert Pike and his letters, his Masonic letters of his plans for three world wars. It says that they want to eradicate Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Right? So they want to eradicate, they're going to use them in order to do their dirty work, and then they want to eradicate them as well at the end.
That's right.
So there were a few more visions that I had. What I can say is one of the last one that I had. I'll tell you this one. I was west of Canada by the Pacific. We blessed the Pacific. We went there and stayed for a little bit and prayed over Canada. And again, I have a vision in night, and what I see is a big congregation. And I heard the preacher preach in a different way. It wasn't too much shouting. It wasn't, the authority behind the preaching was like a hammer, beating slowly but very heavily. Like his words were like a hammer that can break any wall. And as he's preaching, there is this mentally ill young man that's disrupting the service. And all of a sudden, I hear, "Go and lay hands on him." So I go lay hands on his head and I speak healing over his mind in the name of Jesus, and he gets healed. And the whole congregation sees, because they knew that this man is mentally ill for years, since they know him. He gets healed and he starts to worship God. Then the next scene that I see is some unbelievers coming with a bowl, glass bowl of polluted water. It was disgusting. And they come up to me and they said, "Preacher, can you make this water pure?" And I hear a voice saying, "Do it. Put your finger in the water and stir it." I said, "I can do it. God makes all things pure." And I put my finger in that diluted water and became clear. So what that showed me, that we live in a day where all the prophets, all the apostles desire to see these days.
Yes.
Why? Because the wheats and the tares are growing together.
Yes.
And I'm waiting for a day where we're going to raise people from the dead on a regular basis
Amen.
so that the gospel will go forth.
Amen. It's coming.
Limbs, growing. Okay? What we've seen in the past 17 years, what I've seen on the streets, 17 years, not somewhere in Africa, not somewhere in the jungles of Southern America, not in India, but on the streets of Canada, I saw signs and wonders. And I can prove it. How can I prove it? We recorded everything.
Yeah.
The thing is, right now I'm going to be working on a project because, you know, working full time and ministry and defending ourselves from this regime.
Yeah.
So it's we got only 24 hours in a day, but I pray for God to bring the means that I can just give myself a few months to go over all of the recordings, file it, and start to make episodes.
Amen.
And so please pray for that as well, that God will open some doors that I could just focus on that and just let people know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Exactly. David, that really answers to what I was saying earlier with regard to the Calgary Revival film. That is an incredible amalgamation, I guess, just a collection of amazing testimonies in that 2005 film, but that was 17 years ago. And I know that you guys record pretty much everything, it seems like. And that is really an answer to the very thing that I was thinking as I was speaking that to you, that it would be wonderful if you could aggregate some of those testimonies and miracles and lives that have been touched and turned completely new in Christ Jesus from that point forward. You know, we've got 17 years of coverage. You guys are everywhere you go. You seem to have a video camera. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to see a sort of remake of Revival Hits Calgary for the year 2022. And, you know, some of the things that have taken place since then. I know the Street Advocate, that film that came out in 2014, that was also incredible as well. But the emphasis there was more on, you know, that sort of tension between street church and what's taking place with the persecution and so on and so forth. I'd really like to see a sort of remake of Revival Hits Calgary with all that has taken place over these 17 years since. And so that kind of seems to be in line with what you're talking about, these miracles that you have captured on video. And to pull together a feature-length documentary, I don't know if that's what you have in mind or if you're going to pull together a series of shorter videos. But however it comes, I think that could be extremely powerful.
Yes, yes. So please pray that God will open the doors and give us the means to focus on that.
Yeah, we will do.
You know, I can tell you a few of the miracles that really touched my heart in a very powerful way. There was this schizophrenic girl that would come every time, every second day that we are on the streets. She would come to disrupt, to swear at Jesus. You know what's interesting is demons. They don't swear at Allah. They don't swear at Buddha.
That's right.
It's interesting. They only swear against the truth.
That's right.
So that's in itself should make people really think.
Exactly.
Think and drive. So
exactly. It's been the same experience with us on the streets. You know, the demons, these people who just, they cannot tear themselves away. They just keep coming back and trying to taunt us and haunt us. And you can see the demons manifesting and they are just, it's like they're glued to the situation. When you're out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the demons just cannot stand it.
Yeah, they get tormented because
that's
of the word of God.
That's right.
She would come, disrupt the services. She would disrupt the preaching. She would throw things at the other Christians, food, all kinds of stuff, spit. And then finally, me with this other preacher, we had enough. We just walked up to her, we put our hands on her head, and we said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And you know what? She ran off, and 2 days after she comes, she's not swearing, she's not throwing things. She came, she grabbed her food, so we are watching. We're like, oh, wow. And then finally, we approached her, and she found the courage to tell us what was happening. And she says, I don't know what you guys did to me, but I don't see these entities anymore. I don't hear them anymore. They're not tormenting me. They're not telling me to hurt you. And I said, well, praise God, you know, she got healed. But I said, how come, when did this start? And she says, when she was a little girl, she got brutally raped.
Mm.
And she says that from that moment, she saw these demonic things.
Yes.
So the demons use fear. Most of all, how the demons enter a person, it's through fear.
Yes.
And that fear, usually it's connected to some sort of trauma, some enormous trauma.
Yes.
But the fear is the key. That's why Jesus said over and over, and I think it's 365 times in the Bible, do not fear.
That's right.
Right? So he said that for a reason, right? Faith has to be bigger than fear. So that's one situation. Another situation, we promised to God back in the day, well, if somebody will want to be baptized, we'll baptize them, and it gets very cold here.
Yes, I've seen some of those cold baptisms.
It was minus 20, and this guy comes and says, I want to be baptized. And so, are you sure? Yeah. So we're like, oh, man, okay, fine. So, and that's what I'm telling you, this is recorded. And so two people go, they baptize him. You know, we give him a blanket, we give him a towel. And the next time we are there, he comes to us and he says, listen, I've been crying for 2 days. I have to admit to you something. I wanted to commit suicide in that water. I was like, what do you mean? I have a pacemaker. And any drastic change of temperature should shut it off.
Right.
Can you imagine? And the crazy thing about it is, when we are baptizing, and you're going to be able to see that on a video, when they entered the water, they said, wow, the water is warm.
Mm.
But, you know, we're like, wow, God is spoiling us. That's crazy. That's another miracle. He says, you can see the ice all around the opening. And they said, the water is not even cold. So that, you know, and you can see on the video, once I get this all prepped by the grace of God, sooner than later, you're going to be able to hear me and others saying, that's unbelievable. We touched the water and it was indeed warm. Now we know why this water was warmed up. You know, so that's another miracle. Another one that I remember was this native older woman that we would always see being pushed by two native sons. And they're all alcoholics. And we would see them over and over and over. And we were in this triangle park called the Needle Park.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the messianic music worship in the background, in the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring this woman, and she starts to weep and say, oh, I cannot walk for the past 28 years and this and that, you know. And all of a sudden, one of the preachers said, stand up in the mighty name of Jesus. Stand up. And he said that with such authority and without any doubt. And I'm watching this. That was in around 2006, 2007.
Right.
So I was just learning, you know, all this stuff. And all of a sudden, as this Jewish messianic song was playing, as he repeated it maybe 10 times, all of a sudden, this woman stood from the wheelchair. And we were able to record this.
Wow.
This is unbelievable. When I saw this, let me tell you, even though at that point I saw a few things already, I saw the authority in the name of Jesus when it comes to the exorcisms.
Yeah.
But when I saw this woman that could not walk for 28 years,
yeah,
stand from that wheelchair, and the look on her face, the sons and everybody was in shock.
Yeah.
I was in shock. It was like a bomb hit the middle of the park and nothing mattered.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a bubble. I didn't want to hear anything more. It was like my vision just was focused on that one situation.
Yeah.
And she started to dance gently, standing up to that messianic worship.
Yeah.
I will never forget this. I'll never forget this.
You know, we get that testimony in the book of Acts where the person who was lame from birth, right? I think it's Peter who tells him to stand up in in the mighty name of Jesus. And not only does he stand up, but he starts to leap and to dance, right?
That's the same thing.
I mean, that's incredible. First of all, somebody, we all know that, you know, as children, we need to learn how to walk, right? Mm-hmm. Here we're talking about somebody in both of these cases, in this instance in the book of Acts, and also in what you're talking about taking place in Calgary with this woman who is crippled for, what did you say, 28 years? I mean, you know, after 28 years of your muscles atrophying, and in the case of the book of Acts, this man had never learned how to walk before. And not only does he stand up, but he leaps and dances, right? I mean, the miracles are just extraordinary. You know, his ways are higher than our ways.
And he cares for those that are rejected. He really, he's got a heart, you know. That's why he says, go to the highways, to the byways, because the elect, the big shots, have rejected him.
Yes.
You know, so he's building his church from those broken people.
Yes, that's right.
So another situation, a lot of aneurysms, leukemias, all kinds of cancers.
Yeah.
Like I said, schizophrenias, bipolar disorders, which are demon possessions and oppressions.
Yeah.
Same with schizophrenia. It is demonic.
Yes, that's right.
Unless there is a damage to the brain itself.
Yeah.
That's a different situation that needs to be healed on a biological level, not spiritual. There's so many situations, but I'm gonna, you know, on a sad note, I remember when I was back in the world, I would hang around with these people, and there was this woman, very beautiful woman, and you know, we would do drugs together and all this stuff like 20 years ago, and I see her some years after while we are serving on the streets, and she's on a wheelchair. And she was really beautiful woman, very long legs, like model, you know?
Yeah.
And she drives this wheelchair towards me, and she says, do you recognize me? I said, yes. I said, what happened to you? And she started to cry, and she says, look what he did to me. And she took the blanket up, and two of her legs were still in wound, chopped, like three quarters and one to her knee. Mm. And kind of, you can still see it's the calluses, like, you know.
Okay.
I said, what happened to you? He says, well, you know, I told him I didn't want to be with him, so he burned me alive with a torch.
Mm. Mm.
And so there were situations like that as well, where it just breaks your heart, you know. And
yeah.
After that, I have never seen her before. And We had situations where God would supernaturally deliver somebody from crack cocaine. Then he would go back like a dog to the vomit and they would cut his face. It was a good looking guy, but he got so depressed with the cut on his face. And we warned him, don't go back. Don't go back. The devil is waiting for you there. Don't go. But he would not listen. So there was a situation where they cut his face and he got so depressed, he started smoking crack again and he tried to commit suicide by jumping off the bridge. And he broke all of his bones. And now not only his face is cut, but he's a cripple.
Right.
So it's both sides of the coin. What we can do is we can only encourage and pray and warn, but it's unfortunately up to the people at the end which way they're going to choose. So some of the stories are terribly, terribly sad.
Yes.
Recently, a person that God really called for himself, a beautiful woman, smart woman, receives Jesus, but problems come. Instead of going to the Lord, she started to take antidepressants. And I think these powerful psychedelic drugs like Xanax and other things like this, they mess up with the reality.
Yeah.
And she shot herself. She committed suicide.
Mm.
So we got the good stories and the bad stories. You know, in our lineups, usually around two of the people that are in the lineup, we do not see in the next week. They either OD or they get killed or some other things.
Lining up for food at the, as part of street church, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, I understand. There are so many people who are hurting so much out there. And, you know, we just need to do everything we can do to get to them, share the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel with them, to do whatever we can do to help them. But as you say, not everybody is going to receive that message gladly. And it is a great shame, but it is also exactly what you were saying, David. It is the separating of the tares from the wheat, the separating of the goats from the sheep. And it is going to happen. It's inevitable that it's going to happen. And our job is just to try to reach as many as we can. And I know you know that, brother, and to minister to them and to offer them a helping hand and to do whatever we can to lift them up and help them to choose life rather than death, salvation rather than condemnation.
Amen. You know, the key, what I can suggest to our Christian brothers and sisters is this. We have to come to terms in realizing one very important thing. If everything that we do or we get persecuted for or whatever we go through, the troubles, is it worth it for one saved soul?
Yeah.
And we came to the realization that it is.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for.
You know, and the rest is up to God. But for that one soul that's more important to Jesus than a nebula, it is worth it. Because that soul is created in the image of God. Jesus died for that soul. Not even to mention that could be your son, daughter, brother, sister, mother, father. So that's the key. So people should never be discouraged if they do not see too much fruit for a very long time.
Yeah, and we're just not in a position to judge that fruit. You know, I can tell you a quick miracle of my own. We were out preaching. It was a very, very cold 5th of November. This was the year 2020, I believe. No, sorry, autumn of 2019. We were in the middle of this town. It's called Salisbury. We were walking around. It was an extremely cold, rainy night. Our intention was to go out and preach the gospel. And there was just nowhere where you could find a big enough group to hear the gospel. So I thought, okay, change of plans. We're going to just walk around the city and see who we can minister to. And that's what we'll often do. If there's not a good enough sized group of people to preach the gospel to, we'll just minister to folk. So we were walking around this one block and we went into a bus shelter. There were maybe about 10 or 12 folks, mostly sort of 18, 19 year old students. There was an older woman who was a Catholic and her adult daughter. And there was a businessman and just, you know, a few people just milling about this bus shelter. And I just walked up and I said, does anybody here want to know the truth? Does anybody care about the truth? And, you know, they were just, we don't want to hear it. We don't believe there is truth. No, we don't believe it. And so anyways, over the course of time, the Catholic woman says, you know, I'm a Catholic. I'm not a Bible believing Christian, but I respect what you're doing. And things are going back and forth. It's mostly the young people sort of harassing us, saying, no, they're not interested in the gospel. And then there was this middle-aged guy who was the worst of them all, really, really in rejecting the good news of Jesus Christ. And he threatened to call the police because we were not leaving this bus shelter sharing the gospel. And I said, you know, we're going to leave. You know, we realize that you guys don't care about the truth, but we've shared what we can with you. And we're going to go. We're not going to waste any more of your time. But I can tell you, as soon as we walk away from here, my wife and I are going to be praying for you all. And we just want you to know that. And we pray that you'll, you know, open your hearts to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we walk away. And sure enough, you know, Catherine and I are praying for everybody back at the bus stop. And I just had this sense that there was somebody behind me. And we walked probably about the length of a block because we were approaching another intersection with traffic lights. And I turned around because I really felt like there was somebody behind me. And it was this guy, the middle-aged guy at the bus stop, the one who was moments away from calling the police on us, who comes up to me and he's got tears flowing down his face. And he said, I just want to tell you, I really respect everything that you were saying just then. I really want to thank you for everything that you said. Right? Now, this, if anybody was just watching on, somebody was a fly on the wall, they would have thought this was the absolute last person that would receive that message. He was ranting and raving, ready to call the police on us. But when we walked away, he said that he followed us because he wanted to know whether we were really, truly going to pray for them. Mm-hmm. And I think when we were, and he realized that we were truly praying for them, you know, it just melted his heart. And he ended up just, you know, hugging me, tears flowing down his face. But one of the young people came rushing down from the bus stop and said, what, you're not going to believe this guy, are you? And, you know, it's the devil coming back to take away that seed that had just been sown into that heart. But, you know, really what I want to say there is, there is no doubt that guy was touched. He might well have come to Christ, but the real message here is that none of us have any idea where that seed is going to fall upon good ground. We are terrible judges of, you know, the people who are walking past us as we're preaching the gospel. We have no idea who that seed is going to fall upon and just flourish. And looks can be deceiving. And so when we are likely to feel discouraged because we seem not to be bearing much fruit. I think it's really important just to recognize that none of us have any idea about the fruit that is growing in places that we couldn't imagine. We have no idea who we have touched when they are walking past, and they might be the ones who are acting out the most violently and rejecting outwardly the good news of Jesus Christ, but it's very often those people who end up being touched.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, last thing that I received was be busy as a bee and learn from ants.
Yes.
So I encourage everybody, you know, fight for souls. Everything that Jesus has done was for souls. So we are not talking here that the priority of the mission is the signs and wonders. The priority is to go and preach the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
And everything else will follow. If we do things in obedience, if we don't question, if Jesus says, lay hands on the sick, anoint them with oil, just do it. Leave consequences to Jesus.
Amen. It's up to him.
You know, Amen. we are not even called to persuade anybody. Amen. We are called to deliver a message. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to persuade somebody.
Exactly. That's exactly right, David. We are called to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, but the Holy Spirit will move who the Holy Spirit is going to move. We do not need to persuade. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the message of Jesus Christ that saves. We are just called upon to deliver that message as best we can and to be there and to offer it with love, to minister to folk as best we can. But it's ultimately up to God Almighty as to who is going to be effectually called and who isn't.
Amen. Amen. There is many more things that I could speak about. I think we touched on a lot of subjects today, and you know, maybe some other time we can touch some other subjects.
Yeah, I think we might end up breaking this into a couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. But what I think is really good, David, is that I think once you and I start talking, we could talk for quite a long time. And that's exactly what I said at the beginning of last interview, that there's a lot that we could talk about. There's something I would like to share before we bring a close to this interview. I just like to read a couple of verses from Scripture, referring back to some of the things that you, David, said over the course of your talking. The first one from Ezekiel 43:2. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And the second one is Revelation chapter 8, verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter.
Yeah, I heard that voice. I heard that voice. I can tell you, I heard that voice. And it's woe to him who is the enemy of God and ends up in his fist. Woe to him, because it's a terrifying day, you know. And it's like it says, the day of gloominess and darkness, the day of the Lord, right? Because many that claim that they are Christians all of a sudden will realize that Jesus is going to tell them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Yeah, it's the worst possible thing you could ever hear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I pray, Lord, don't ever let me hear those words.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. David, I really want to thank you so much for joining us again today. Once again, there's a lot to talk about. And we're just really grateful for everything that you and Pastor Art and all of Street Church and all of the Cave of Adullam are doing and all of the supporters who are coming out day after day in support of Pastor Art. We're so grateful for all that you're doing in Calgary, in Canada generally, and also the way that you are all inspiring the rest of the world. You know, it's a little bit like the Truckers Freedom Movement that started up in Canada, and it very quickly, that inspiration didn't stay in Canada. It spread everywhere. And the inspiration from Pastor Art, from you, David, from all that you guys are doing in Calgary is an inspiration, not just to those in Calgary, but to the whole world. So I really want to thank you for all that all of you guys are doing for the Lord. I'm really grateful. And I want to thank you. Thank you again for joining us here today. As last time, we will put all of your and Pastor Art's relevant links in the show notes. And may our loving Father continue to bless you all. And I want to thank everyone else for joining us for today's podcast. Who do you know that's on fire for God today? Please reach out to us if you have a potential guest in mind that you'd like us to have on the podcast. Also, if you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can visit our website at onfireforgod.today. If you'd like to support our work, you can donate via the website as well. And we'd also greatly appreciate your ongoing prayers for God's guidance, protection, and provision for this ministry of His, and that He continues to strengthen all of us with His godly wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and spiritual discernment. Thank you, folks. Feel free to share this podcast everywhere. And until next time, let's continue to ask our loving Father in Jesus' name what we can do to be truly on fire for God today and every day for the remainder of our time in this last day's world within which we're all living. To Him goes all the glory, all the time. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and have mercy upon thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, to which I say, Amen and Amen.